Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, March 28th, 2024. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, Garrett Freeman from Man Made Mead joins Steve and me to share meads flavored with five different hops. It's a mead hop sampler. If you want to support us financially, check out patreon.com/basicbrewing. And many thanks to everybody who's helping out that way. If you go to patreon.com/basicbrewing, you can see a long list of stuff that you can access if you sign up as a supporter. And many thanks to the new Patreon subscribers who are signing up to help us carry on in what has become challenging times for some of our sponsors. Financial supporters have already seen the video episode I'm planning to make public at the end of this week. It's the one where Steve and I taste the Fresca Chandler. Now, you may remember that Matt Giovannisi of Brew Cabin and Josh Secor of Gambit Brewing didn't like the Fresca Chandler, mainly because they don't like Fresca. But Steve and I did, because we do like Fresca. The base beer for that was a 15-minute extract beer that was really quick to make. The brew day from turning on the heat to turning off the chiller was about 90 minutes. You can see how that process went in the behind-the-scenes video that financial supporters also got. And they got the recipe for the base beer, too. Susan and I went to Tulsa this past weekend to attend the last call party at Pippin's Tap Room at High Gravity. This weekend will mark the end of 20 years of Desiree and Dave supporting the homebrew and craft brewing communities in Tulsa and across the country, and through this podcast, the whole dang world. In fact, when I posted pics of us at the party on Instagram, Tim commented, "Won't be the same without them," coming from a listener in Melbourne, Australia. So used to hearing about these two. Well, that's for sure, Tim. But we're still good friends, and we're going to stay in touch. In fact, we're planning to get together in a couple of weeks. Many thanks to Desiree, Dave, Amanda, Tim, Emma, and everybody at High Gravity for your love and support over the past two decades. And looking forward to hearing about your next chapter. How do I transition from that? Well, my hoppy raw ale has entered its next chapter. How's that? In fact, it's in the keg and tasting pretty good. I dry hopped it after I posted last week's show, and the croizon on top was the thickest that I've ever seen on a beer. It's weird. It had completed fermentation, but the foam on top had almost hardened, like kind of like stale whipped cream on a coconut cream pie. I had to take a spoon to taste it, you know, just to see what what's going on. But it tasted just fine. Just looked weird and felt weird. A couple of days later, when I kegged after I dry hopped, the foam had mostly settled back into the beer. I guess it's because I didn't get a hot break from the boil. Since I didn't boil, you know, it's a raw ale. I don't want to spoil too much because I haven't run the show that Chris Colby and I formulated the recipe on. So I will tell you that I'm happy with the results. I fermented that beer with A37 POG the feature seasonal yeast this season, not just this week, from our friends and sponsors at Imperial Yeast. POG is Ebbegarden Kvike, which produces an extreme amount of tropical fruit aromas like pineapple and guava. Now, I pitched this beer at 90 degrees Fahrenheit, or 32 C, and then fermented at room temperature in the house. So what I'm getting is more of a lemony citrus flavor. Spoilers! Thanks to those 200 billion cells in each package of Imperial Yeast, I usually say my airlocks are bubbling before bedtime, but POG was bubbling a couple hours after pitching, so bubbling by supper time, and I was able to keg 6 days after brewing. My stir plate is dusty because I don't use it anymore to make starters for moderate gravity 5-gallon batches. And with POG, that is certainly the case. I've got more pouches waiting for a brew to put in, and I can't wait for the porch to heat up to see what POG does at the warmer temperatures. Ask your local homebrew store about Imperial A37 POG. And check out all the dependable deliciousness at imperialyeast.com. It's imperialyeast.com. Oh, before I forget, we're apparently on YouTube Music and YouTube, this podcast, the just the audio show, if you're interested in that. A few people are tuning in there. So, you know, it's nice to be in different places. People have written in saying that it's working. So, and all the episodes have apparently been uploaded. According to YouTube, they list one more episode than I count on my count. So I don't know who's, I don't know if I posted like an extra in the, you know, in the feed that it's, I don't know. It's, you know, whatever. It's 880 something, 885, 800, what is today? The episode 886, according to my count. Anyway, Steve and I have done a whole bunch of hop samplers with beer, the small batches of beer, but hopped mead is a different story. And hopped mead, you get the flavor interaction between the fruitiness of the honey and the flavor characteristics of the hops, especially when a talented mead maker like Garrett has the reins. Garrett invited us on his Man-Made Mead YouTube channel to taste these meads, and he was kind enough to let me record audio for y'all at the same time.
Welcome, Steve James, from the Basic Brewing Podcast Radio Super Show to a hopped mead tasting. I've got five hopped meads inspired by an experiment you guys, or many experiments that you do, including hops and beer. And when I did this experiment, not only did I like do it inspired by you, but I was like, I want to get them to taste it. So,
wow.
Today you get to try some hopped mead.
Excellent. So this is a mead hop sampler.
I'm
very flattered. And at the same time, Garrett, I want to welcome you and Steve to Basic Brewing Radio, because we're simul-recording. We're not simulcasting. We're simul-recording. So y'all will be on Basic Brewing Radio. And then our listeners can see us on your Man-Made Mead YouTube channel as well.
Yeah. And of course, I'll put Basic Brewing down in the description of mine. So let's talk about this experiment that I ran. It is so similar to yours. Like, I feel like it's just a side-by-side, except for there's no wort. This is a must base, which is honey water. And I use tropical honey. I boiled each specific hop for 15 minutes apiece, separately, of course, not all in one. So the hops featured today are, I'm going to say some of these wrong, people can get mad at me, Rakau, R-A-K-A-U, I think that's right, Enigma, Sonnet, Ariana, and Elixir. All the hops, I honestly just went to my homebrew shop and just like started grabbing random things. So there was no rhyme or reason for picking them. Just
kind of sounds like, familiar.
Yeah. Just, you know. So I took some tropical honey and I didn't boil the honey portion, but I boiled the water with the hops for 15 minutes apiece. And then I transferred that into a 1 gallon carboy with my 2 pounds of honey. I used I got to figure out which yeast I used. The Saff Ale USO5. I kept it pretty beery in that respect. We added 1 gram of wine tannin, and I added 3 grams of Fermate O. These all started at 1.078, roughly, and finished at 1.000. So they're about 10.5% ABV. They fermented out. We bottle carb them. And we added erythritol to back sweeten. So priming sugar and then the non-fermentable sugar known as erythritol to each one. And then we let them go. Let them do their thing. And I shared them with you guys. And we've got ourselves some hopped mead.
Excellent. Hey. Yeah, I was going to, when you said boil, I was going to, you know, I was holding onto my chair because of the emails that you were going to get, you know, in comments. Oh, never boil honey, you know, never heat your honey. People get all mad about that. I was looking back. I had done a hopped mead of like 3 years ago. In fact, January of 2021. And it was based on a recipe from our mutual friend, Ricky, the mead maker. From Groenfell Meadery in Vermont and Havoc Meadery. But I didn't add any hops into pre-fermentation. I added them post-fermentation and I just did a dry hop. So this would be interesting to see, you know, compare and contrast. this. And also, if I can go down.
I might have forgot one part. Oh. You might have just reminded. Yep. You know what? I'm sorry. I missed a key important step of my process. I did dry hop these as well.
Excellent.
So, yeah, I added some dry hops a couple of weeks in and let them set for 5-6 days, I think, in that realm. And then we did the whole bottle carbonating and backsweetening. So, sorry, I missed that very important step. We did dry hop them too.
Excellent. Excellent.
When did you add the hop tea? Did you add that at bottling or at fermentation?
It was in fermentation. So that was primary. Boil, mix honey, yeast, ferment, and then dry hop a couple weeks in.
Okay.
Yep. So this should have a bittering charge and theoretically some aromatic from each hop as well.
Yeah.
Theoretically.
I'm very excited. The next beer that I brew is going to be a hoppy raw ale, as inspired by a conversation I had with Mika Leitinen, author of Viking Age Brews. And he, you know, doing a raw ale, there's the wort and the beer is not boiled, but you make a hop tea. You know, you boil water with the hops in it to get your bittering. And so, you know, I don't think. I might have done it like in 2005 in an experiment to boil hops and just water alone. So this would be interesting. Which one should we start with?
Let's go with, I'll do them in the order that I set them. Let's start with the Rakow.
Okay.
I probably, you know, I don't have much info on each one. I can give us a little briefing on each one if that will help, because I'm sure, you know, Google's a great place.
Now, Rakow, it seems like is from down under, right?
Yeah. It's from New Zealand. It's bursting with big fruit forward character. According to the website.
Oh, you looked it up as well. Okay, yeah, I see. I'm looking the same one as you. Apricot, plum, mango, pear, and other stone fruits are the notable flavors.
Smells great. Cheers. Cheers, guys, by the way.
Cheers.
And thanks again for including this in this. This is a lot of fun.
Of course. Inspired by you guys. You guys are the reason I'm doing it. So
Steve's all fancy. He's got an actual glass.
He's one up with us. So the thing I don't love about erythritol is that it's a noticeable flavor. Obviously,
I was going to say, there's something from that sugar that I could pick up.
It's not my favorite thing, but I didn't want to have to keg 1 gallon, five individual 1 gallons of brew and then deal with that, the bottling and stuff. So
welcome to my world.
I am interested in that sugar. However, I wouldn't mind discussing it a little bit. I've never heard of that. You'd think it might be something I would have, but I have not. I'm not familiar with this sugar at all. And there are times when I wanted a sparkling mead and I wanted it back sweetened. And I've never been able to cross that bridge successfully, but you have. And I am getting a flavor from it that I'm not sure what that flavor is. It'll be interesting to see if I pick it up in the other bottles as well.
I can smell the honey, definitely. Yeah. The honey is quite prominent. I guess I'm having trouble. It'll be interesting once we start tasting the other meads. Then I think that I'll be able to like differentiate what part of the flavor and the aroma is honey, and what part is the hops, because it is fruity, it is tropical, but you said it's a tropical honey, right? So
yes, yeah. So it's blending in that category. It's hard to say, is this the honey or the fruit or the hops.
So when you say tropical honey, tell me what that means, because I don't know. Does it mean it came from
this one came from from Hawaii? This is from Hawaii.
Okay, from Hawaii.
All those fruit, those flowers from Hawaii. There's a a great company I like, Hawaiian AT&S Honey. They do a lot of great honey deals. You can pick up. This sounds like a lot of money, because it is. 60 pounds of honey for $220 with free shipping, and of tropical honey, which is a pretty good deal for a more interesting honey. And they ship free to anywhere in the U.S. essentially. So it's pretty good.
So it's basically wildflower honey from Hawaii.
Yes.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. I think that this one's, it's hard to tell with this one specifically only because the tropical honey, it blends into all those categories.
It's really good.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm salivating.
I was worried the dry hop would be too much, but I think it ended up being okay.
Yeah.
At least feeling it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm picking up just a really nice, you know, New Zealand, Australian style hop character from it. It's very pleasant. There's a little bit of a harsh bittering note at the very end, but it's not very strong. In other words, if you like an IPA, if you like IPAs, that won't bother you. If you drink Busch Light for your beer, then this will bother you.
Yeah,
as far as that bittering note. But otherwise, I mean, it's a very nice, springy, easy to drink, you know, mead. It's quite good.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, I was gonna say that I think the bittering for my palate. And I drink a lot of IPAs and such. I think the bittering is just about right for me because there is a sweetness from, you know, the residual sweetness. But there is enough of the of that bitterness from that bittering charge to balance that out. And so it's got a substantial mouthfeel. It's not a completely dry champagne-y kind of experience. It is a fairly substantial mouthfeel to the mead, and I think that the bitterness comes in and helps, you know, kind of cut through that a little bit. And I think it's very well balanced.
Well, the sweetness definitely helps. I do think if this were drier, it'd be rough.
Oh, for sure.
You know, I made brewed a wildflower mead, and the honey came from hives in Santa Fe. I have some friends from Santa Fe, and my friend gave me a 4-pound jar. And so I made a 2-gallon batch from it, and I made it as a sparkling mead. So very similar to this one. No hops in it, but because I wanted it sparkling, I didn't back sweeten it at all. Mm-hmm. It's so dry. I mean, you move in next door to this thing and Oklahoma's going to go dusty again. I mean, it's really dry.
Yeah.
And it's good. I mean, it's really good, but you know, it's also, I'll just say, challenging. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's so darn dry. And I'm at the point, I haven't drank very many of them because, you know, I don't want to say this bad, talk bad about my own mead, but it's not that pleasant to drink. But there's nothing wrong with it. It's just so damn dry.
Yeah.
So now I think I need to get some like Woodruff syrup or something and see if I can enjoy it that way.
Or make mead mosas out of it.
There you go. Yeah, make a mead cocktail of it. That could be interesting.
Yeah. Something like that. Anyway, so it's just a discussion about back sweetening a sparkling mead, which is a tricky thing to do, and so I'm envious of what you've done here, and the how well it seems to have worked.
Erythritol, it's its own little interesting thing. There's a bunch of other ones that are non-fermentable sugars, but I like erythritol mostly when I use it, at least.
Okay,
let's graduate on to the Enigma hop. And this is, I can tell you a little bit about the hop profile. It is a cross between Tettnanger, if you know that one, and an unnamed North American variety. That's not helpful. it's juicy with red fruits like raspberry and red currants. Crisp and refreshing, blah, blah, blah. This says berry, currant, green fruit, and sweet fruit as the hop profiles.
So similar in appearance, as you might expect. It does smell different.
You know, I had a girl tell me that one time on a date.
She was talking about your cologne, right?
Yes. Yeah, it was the cologne.
High karate was what you had.
No, it was haiku, and it just came in short little sentences.
Oh, yeah. These do smell very different.
Yeah, this is a completely different mead.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, see, I think I prefer this one. I know it's not really a which one do you like best show, but...
Oh, I'm all about that. You can tell me which one you like best. That
So far between the two, I like the Enigma hop mm-hmm. better. And again, it kind of goes back to a little bit of that back of the throat bittering that I don't get in this one.
Mm-hmm.
This one, in other words, it when it finishes, it doesn't finish with any kind of an unpleasant note.
Mm-hmm.
Where the other one a little bit did, at least again to my palate. This yeah. one I think is brings all the fun to the party at the beginning, where you get that nice hop aroma and nice hop flavor and character, but it doesn't leave me going, I need a cracker.
Yeah, yeah. So,
now, Garrett, when you figured out how much hops weight wise to add in, say, in your bittering charge, did you like weigh them differently in according to alpha acid percent, or did each hop just get the same amount?
I dosed it with all the same. I wish I was advanced enough to say that I was like, I know the alpha acid percentage that I'm going to. No, I just did a quarter ounce across the board for okay. 1 gallon. And then all the same, I was looking at my notes and I put, it's supposed to be 6 grams. I think 6 grams. No, that can't be right. I added 6 ounces of dry hops, and that's definitely not true. So I know that I did not add 6 ounces for sure.
Mm.
That's really pleasant. I really like that.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah. And I also like, you know, it's really posh because the description is written with British spelling, so flavors spelled F-L-A-V-O-U-R-S. So that, you know, it's better.
It has to be better.
Well,
I think that the hop character of the Enigma suits the honey better than the Raku or Rakow.
Mm.
Personally. Yeah. Yeah, I would. It has like the more pineapple. It like leans into the tropical note way nicer. Mm-hmm. It's really pairing well.
That's really good.
Yeah, I'm wondering if I'm getting more kind of citrus with this one too. Maybe like a tangerine-y mm-hmm. kind of a thing. I do like this one better. It's to me, it just tastes stronger. Where that first one was kind of like delicate and soft. Yeah. You know, those soft tropical flavors. This one, the Enigma, is it just takes it's bolder and stronger, and that's why I was asking about the alpha acid percentage. Mm-hmm. You know, Steve, you said that you get less of a bitterness. I was thinking maybe it's just because I'm getting more hop flavor. I was thinking that I was getting maybe a little more bitterness from this one. It's interesting.
I think I think it does get down to how your palate perceives bitterness, maybe mm-hmm. a little mm-hmm. bit. And in the Rakow, it was just that end note. There was a bit of an at the very end of, you know, all the flavor's gone, but there's a little bit of something left. And it was on the dank, that kind of dank bitterness, that, you know, kind of wet, dank grass bitterness. Which it wasn't bad, but it was just something I noticed. On this one, I don't get that, but I do get a stronger hop character from it. But I don't perceive that as bitter. I perceive it as, well, flavor. I mean, you right. know, but bitter isn't one of the descriptors I would have for it. But I do think there is more hop character and more hop flavor overall in this one, and I find it to be really pleasant to drink. Also, what I was thinking might have been that sugar, because any sugar that has more than 3 syllables, you got to look out for that sucker because it's chemical. So, but I was thinking, okay, I'm picking up some artificial sugar flavor mm-hmm. in the Rakow one, but I don't get that in the Enigma one. So that's good. That
yeah.
that means whatever I was tasting, it isn't the sugar.
Mm.
Yeah, at least at the moment, that's my That's my hypothesis.
There's only one way to find out, though.
Open another one.
We gotta keep going if we're gonna find out. The next one. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just Steve's comment about the sugar. Could one back sweeten a mead with like stevia or one of the other sugar substitutes? Would the yeast eat that? Do you know?
I don't know if stevia. I know there are definitely. Actually, I don't know which of those would be fermentable or not.
I never thought of it before.
The yeast would definitely eat whatever fermentable sugar they could consume, but
it's technically not a sugar, though, right? I mean, it doesn't have any calories. So right.
There'll be sugar alcohols, whatever that means. I'm
all in your alcohol. That's what we want.
Yeah,
double down.
but I wondered about that too. If you could use stevia or there's a bunch of them nowadays, and see if you could get a decent back sweetening. And then I also would wonder about the kind of yeast. In other words, wine yeast generally are more able to digest sugars than beer yeast. Beer yeast tend to crap out a lot earlier. So it might be that you could get away with it using USO5, where you might not be able to get away with it using 71B, the wine yeast, because it might eat some sugars that the beer yeast isn't able to eat. Now, having said all that, I have to have a qualifier and say I just made it all up, because I'm not an expert in this by any means. I'm a home mead maker, like most everybody listening. So if somebody out there in the commercial world or just more experienced than me knows the answer to that, put it in the comments. We'd love to know.
Yeah,
love to know the answer without having to brew it myself.
Where do we go next, Garrett?
We're going on to the Sonnet hops.
Ah, yes.
This one, I don't know if you're familiar. I'll talk about it some. According to the website, it says American grown. A lot presents bright citrus and beautiful floral notes of honeysuckle. Works well with English styles and lagers, but fits perfectly in new twists on those styles. So the aroma are honeysuckle, lemon, and floral.
And this is grown in Oregon. I may have missed it. So Sonnet of the famous English EKGs are grown in Oregon.
Hmm.
It does. The nose is much more tame.
Yeah.
It's not as bright and just in your face.
I'm getting more honey in this one. It's balanced more toward the honey and less toward the hops on my palate.
I mean, maybe that's the honeysuckle. It's just leaning into that that honey character some too.
Oh, yeah.
A floral note. Interesting. It is very mellow. It's
really
like
good.
Not super bright. Definitely leans into the mellow, warm honey character with a little bit of that bitter note in there.
Yeah, it's not so fruity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not tropical fruity. It's not like grapes or apples or it's more kind of a sweet honey type character, traditional honey type character.
I agree, and it seems to be between the three of them. Now, so we've got Raquel, Enigma, and Sonnet. The Sonnet, for my money, has the most balanced flavor. In other words, I think all of the flavors, the honey, whatever the yeast might bring to it, which won't be much because it's USO5, but all of the flavors in there, and then, of course, the hop character, they seem to be the most harmonious. Everything seems to fit together very well. Where the Raku, I felt, had a bittering thing that I will leave alone now. The Enigma, which I quite liked, but it's very bright. I mean, the hop flavor is very boof boof. It's like almost like a shiny sports car, which is really great. But you ride in it for 500 or 600 miles and you're tired of it. The one flavored with the Sonnet. I just think it's the most balanced and the most fully realized of the three beads.
Mm-hmm.
So from that from that, I would say this is the best one so far. Wow, it's cool because each one's good, mm-hmm. but they keep getting better.
Yeah, I went back and tasted the first two again, and I'm with you now on the Raquel having that sharpness, that bitterness, Steve. I do get what you're talking about now that the sample's warmed up a little bit. Yeah, there's a little harshness on the back end. Some people like harshness on the back end, but
not a criticism, just an observation. It's like if you use the word harsh or bitter, it's like, oh, you're making fun. No, I'm not. I'm just describing. And then on the Enigma one, now that it's warmed somewhat, I'm getting a lot of kind of grassy wine like character in the bouquet, if not in the flavor. But I can really, I mean, it really has a really heavy. It's grass and it's kind of a white wine, a bouquet.
Yeah,
it's most wine like of the three.
I agree with you that the Sonnet is the most, and it could just be, I went back as well. I think the honey is most supported through this hop so far. And it could be that honeysuckle that's talked about there, and then your citrusy lemon, like you're hitting the notes of the tropical honey with the lemon citrus vibe, and then you're continuing to help the other side of the honey character with the honeysuckle floral note kind of situation there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Boy, and it really does begin to make you think a little bit about choosing honey, in this case, then to balance with hops.
Yeah.
Because, so this is a tropical honey. So if it were a Tupelo honey or a sage honey, I mean, these would be completely different. And how they would interact with the hop would be very different too.
Yeah. This has got my wheel spinning on because I've tried hops before, but this is like super fun to just see the differences, and they're so different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Different in great ways. Each one has its own pro, I would say.
But it's so challenging, yeah. Garrett, again, welcome to our world, tasting samples side by side and just trying to pick out the nuances between the samples and trying to get adjectives, descriptors, to talk about, each of these things. And it's like, yeah, I'm tasting this. Well, maybe I'm tasting that, some jump out at you right away, but others, take a little teasing and a revisit later on to kind of get an impression of what you're actually tasting.
Yeah. So the toughest tasting I've ever done was, I did 20 different yeast versus one mead recipe, one traditional mead.
Wow.
And I had tasters come out and do that. That was really tough because obviously yeast impart their own profile. But when you taste 20 in a row, your palate is like blasted. And so it was, I had 20 people who helped me with that tasting and I was super thankful for them. But everybody was like, I'm blast, like not necessarily alcohol blasted, but like, palate is toast after this.
Oh, sure. So. Sure. Yeah. Even, five or six samples and you're like,
Let's keep going. We're going on to the Ariana hops.
Right.
And I can give us some information about those. All the same process, of course. This says, Ariana is the daughter of Hercules. Oh, interesting. It is a juice. It is juicy with dark fruits like black currants and backed with smooth oak, tobacco, and vanilla.
Mm.
There are some bright elements of grapefruit when used in late additions. Okay. I was not expecting oak, tobacco, and vanilla to come out of a hop character. But now I'm intrigued.
This is the richest flavored one, and I'm definitely getting that. Those heavier notes, the vanilla, the tobacco, the leather, that's all there. I'm definitely getting it.
Yeah. I describe those as being darker.
Yeah. Darker it's flavors. Definitely a darker flavor. Definitely.
Yeah. That's really interesting.
Yeah. I think the honey is definitely taking a back seat in this one.
Yeah. This might be my least favorite.
Yeah.
And again, it's not that it's bad. What I think is that the hop character competes, and not necessarily in a good way, with the honey.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting, and I would be proud to have brewed this, but comparing it, particularly to the Sonnet, in my opinion, the Sonnet's just hands down an easier drink. Now, the thing about these experiments is you aren't, and we're not, when we do these, trying to come up with a brew that's exactly right. Yeah. You're not. You're just trying to see what the character of the hop or whatever your variable is. It just so happens that with the honey, with what you brewed, this one brings that hop character is really prevalent, and it's exactly, in my opinion, how it's described. It's a much more robust flavor, and I'm just not sure it works that great in a mead, at least in this mead. Maybe if you had buckwheat honey or something like that, or a boucher.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You might go, oh, now I can hit it with this one, which is a heavier, to accentuate those kind of roasty brown sugar, heavier caramel flavors. This might be the perfect hop for it.
Yeah.
In this lighter kind of summery springtime-ish mead, maybe a little bit over the top for my palate.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, this is the first one that I'm not
coming back for.
Yeah, I'm not coming back to as often. It's not that it's bad. In fact, if I'd, as we often say, if I'd been just served this one, I would have been happy.
Exactly.
But next to these other three, which are brighter, and their fruit characteristics really complement the honey, and it's 1 and 1 plus 3, this is not a cooperative experiment or experience in this combination. And again, if you were to, not saying this hop is bad, just saying that in this application, in this one beverage, right, it's not as suited as these others, in my opinion.
I was going to say this has some definite Merlot precursors.
Oh, interesting.
You've ever had Merlot or Merlot, yeah, or whatever it is. There's some, that's where they're getting it from.
Well, reading this description, if I had read it before I started the experiment, I probably wouldn't have done it. Like, other than this is, like you said, just to see the hop profile.
Yeah.
Obviously, smooth oak, tobacco, and vanilla do not go with citrus, lemon, orange, like anything like that. Those,
not as well,
those don't necessarily go hand in hand. At least in my work.
But you never know. I mean, sometimes you're surprised. You come up with something that you think is going to be bad, and you taste it, and it's like, oh, actually, it's pretty good.
Yeah, true.
So, yeah, it's an experiment. I mean, that's why you do it, is to find the knowledge. And then sometimes, the descriptors of the hops don't necessarily match what you're tasting, so...
Well, because the guy writing the copy on that day was chewing like juicy fruit gum, forgot to spit it out. And all the hops are magically taste like,
yeah, he just
a mosaic.
He just took the chaw of tobacco out, between his lip and his gums, and tasted beers, and oh, this one kind of tastes, tobacco-y.
Well, Yakima Chief is going to come out with Red Man.
or Happy Days. That was the entry level Copenhagen. There was Happy Days.
Yeah, Copenhagen. Oh my God.
Are those still around? I don't know.
I got some interesting this was unplanned, but the next one is Elixir. And I have a feeling we talked about how that one had such warm characters and the other ones had bright characters. This one has both. This is the Elixir hop. It says Elixir is a robust and complex hop that offers unique aromas of cognac, leather, tobacco that are backed with sweet fruits as well as rose and lovage, which I don't know what lovage is.
Hmm.
It says it's fruit forward, or it's used in fruit forward styles and even spicy saisons, which I've never had a really spicy saison, so I don't know about that one.
I think Lovage was Mr. Howell's wife.
I was going to say
Gilligan's
that.
Gilligan's Island.
I was going to say that.
I beat you to it?
Yes, I was going to say that. Oh, Lovage. That was Mr. Magoo. Oh, God, same guy. Old.
This one's more, actually, so this is the first one that looks a little different. It's much cloudier. I don't, and I didn't shake it up, but it's, yeah, it's a lot cloudier. It's still got a good head on it. They've all actually had a fairly decent head, which is surprising.
Hmm. This one's better than the Arianna. Oh,
I like this quite a lot.
Yeah. This is much better.
This is good. Wow. I actually quite like this one. This one almost comes across like a Radler a little bit, or a Shandy. It's sweet. It's kind of lemony to me. I'm not sure what it's supposed to be, but I'm getting kind of, you know, high lemon notes, high citrus notes, like lemon.
I'm getting plum. This may be my favorite.
It's definitely the blend of the
two.
That's
really good.
It's almost like you poured the Enigma and the Arianna in a same bottle, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I'm not getting.
Did we
so
find
much,
a new favorite?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not getting so much of the leather, tobacco, all that kind of stuff. It may be translating in my mind, like I said, you know, to a plum, like a darker, juicy fruit, so to speak.
That's the Lovage.
As my neighbor's favorite soap opera when I was growing up, Lovage on ABC.
Lovage. Yeah, I get the sweet citrus, you know. I get a little the rose. I mean, I get those light aromatics out of it. I don't get the tobacco, the leather. I don't know if I get cognac or not, but I definitely don't get the kind of heavier.
I think the bitter note on the end, that character is where I get the most of that darkness. It's it's like 5-6 seconds after you swallow, and then it's sitting in your mouth, and you're like, oh, there is like that kind of leathery darkness that's there. It's interesting.
There's a party in my mouth and everyone's invited.
that's not what I thought you were going to say. Family show here. I get like a dark cherry. Like a black cherry. Or like I say, plum, dark cherry. But there's also a bite there. You know, that's probably the hop bitterness that really counterbalances the sweetness of both the hop flavor and the sweetness of the honey as well. And boy, this is the most mature of the bunch, you know? You know, the first three were like, oh, these are tasty. This one is like, it's not just fruit juice. You know, there's some darker, more interesting things going on. That kind of, you know, make it a more mature beverage as far as this tastes like it was designed. You know what I'm saying? It's like all the meads were well made and well fermented and well done technically. But it's just like this one, it's like you worked on the recipe for a bit to get to achieve this. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Garrett, I hope you take that in the way that...
I do. Yeah. Well, it is interesting that, like, this whole thing is super interesting that there are so many different characters coming from these. Obviously, again, I just went to the brew shop and grabbed randomly. And we've only scratched the surface. Like, you guys have done how many episodes now of your hop experiments?
Oh, we can't remember. I had to make a spreadsheet. I can't. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look.
Yeah,
but enough so that we've repeated one accidentally.
Then you made the spreadsheet, right?
Before I made the spreadsheet, yeah. I can't remember which one we was it Citra that we did twice. I can't remember. See, I can't even remember that. But yeah. We got an email. Hey, you guys did that one already. Oh, okay. Did we say the same things?
No. Yeah,
probably not.
Yeah, well, we've only scratched the surface. That's what's kind of crazy about this. There are hundreds and hundreds of hops out there, and mm-hmm. there are new ones coming out all the time where they're just hybrid hopping left and right. And so it's kind of cool. I think some of these are hybrid hops created.
Yeah, Elixir. Boy, that's my favorite so far. Or so far, we're done.
As well. Yeah.
And you were generous enough to give us a couple of big bottles of bonus meads. Steve, I shared Steve chose the mixed berry. And I got the other one downstairs. I can't remember what it was. Remind me what the one that I got was.
Oh gosh. I wish I could tell you. I genuinely wish I could tell you. I have packed a bunch of boxes in prep for competitions. And so I think when I sent you guys these, I'd probably packed a couple boxes, and I have no idea what I sent you.
This one's got a fancy label. I thought it was a commercial. Oh. I thought it was a commercial mead when I first looked at it, and was like, oh, okay. But
well, whatever it is, I hope it's good. You can let me know what it is, and I can give you further information if you're curious.
Well, I'm sure it will be. Everything that you've sent us, you've been very generous in doing so. But everything you've sent us has mm-hmm. been delicious.
Really good, yeah.
And it's so fun to have the tables kind of turned on us in this way to share this hop sampler experiment, you know, from the mead side of things. This is wonderful. Mm-hmm. I think that, hopped meads can be delicious and a thing in their on their own and can be. I mean, they obviously mead shows off the differences between hops very well. So thanks again for including us in the experiment. This is wonderful.
Well, I definitely recommend anybody listening, watching to take this and take the elements of your honey you have. Let's say you are using tropical honey and go, well, okay, tropical fruits. Let's go down the list and then look up hops. And there's hundreds of these. I say hundreds. There's lots of these already pre-made signs and things, charts for you to look at the hop profiles and go, what's going to complement what I'm doing here? And I think what at least I feel comfortable saying is the ones that continue to complement the fruit or the whatever character the honey gives, plus something maybe a little bit different are the most interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like that Enigma was just playing right into the tropical. However, the Elixir had the tropical and it hit that little character of something different. And it made it more complex, like you said, more mature, which was kind of more fun to taste and try.
Yeah. I'm going back and revisiting. And Steve's probably going to be doing some blending later on. So that's Steve's.
Oh, what happens during the tastings? A little bit of blending towards the end.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Delicious. So was there anything in your process and your recipe that you would change next time? Any part of the process or, you know, ingredients, or was there anything that at the end you were like, man, I wish I had done this way instead of that way?
I don't think so. I mean, the 15-minute boil was, I felt like it was really short, but it hit the right marker of bitterness. So I'm sure if I was doing this at a 5-gallon scale, I probably would still do a 15-minute boil for the hops and the primary. And then my 6 grams of dry hop per gallon, I believe that was a fair amount as well. And I don't know. I'm pretty happy with it. I think the tannin use was important. I don't have an A/B to say, like, this one didn't have tannin, but I do feel like if I had not added the 1 gram of wine tannin, it would have been a different tasting brew or feeling brew at least. So I feel pretty good about the process overall.
The only thing that I kind of wish I had is, like, I wish I had the base mead with no hops at all in it.
Oh yeah, that would have been good.
And that would have been an interesting way to bounce these off of each other.
Yeah,
to come back to that, you know, what would they taste like without any hops in them? Having said that, though, I mean, that's a small thing. These are great. I'm surprised. I'm always surprised how nice hops are. Hops are wonderful. It's an herb. You know, and they're just great. I mean, and they actually, except for the Raquel in this particular experiment, they all did something that I really like. Well, no, I take that back. Which was that one?
The Ariana.
Ariana. Yeah, Ariana, that's the one that I didn't really care for that. Not the Raquel. Take that back. But however, I mean, it's just shocking kind of how well the honey and the hops play together.
Mm-hmm.
They really do. And you don't have to be a hophead to like it. In fact, maybe not being a hophead is a good thing. Just because, you know, if I poured this elixir example to my friends in general who aren't into this as a hobby, you know, aren't picking it apart, I think this would be very popular.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of like Debbie Lewowski at the ninth grade prom. She was very popular.
Feel free to edit Steve's comments as you.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a photo of her up here. Whoa, that's weird.
Steve sharing his screen. Wait, whoa, stop. Oh, this is so much fun.
The only drawback to this experiment was that I spent so much time. I wasn't doing a bunch of boiling all at once. And so it was boil hops, you know, move over. So the whole thing to do five took me like, because water takes forever to boil if you don't do it with a flame. It was like 3 or 4 hours. Yeah. So I want to do it in like do 20 plus hops and just do it as a giant test, but it's going to take a whole day to get all of those hops boiled. So maybe that'll be done in the future with an unhopped version that will be the base person.
Excellent. So, excellent. Yeah. All right.
Thank you guys for doing this. And I am super excited to hopefully involve you guys in some more tastings if you're willing to come back.
Yes, please.
Love it.
Thank you all.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Good. This was great. Thanks, guys.
Many thanks to Garrett and to Steve, of course. Those were really delicious. I was surprised by the difference in the hops. We had our favorites, of course, and the mead really showed off those hop characteristics. Be sure to check out Garrett's Man-Made Mead channel on YouTube. He's very energetic about posting experiments and fun recipe ideas. By the way, the blueberry and mamane mead that he sent was fantastic. If you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to james@basicbrewing.com or just fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com. And please don't forget to tell us where you're from. Check out our mobile-friendly shop at basicbrewingshop.com. Thanks to everybody supporting us through our Patreon page. Special goodies coming your way. Check that out at patreon.com/basicbrewing. So until next time, till then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer. Production help for Basic Brewing Radio and our website is provided by Kelly Dodson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. In the meantime, stay well and stay tuned. So long.